My Life in Christ, Book 2, starting page 106. Represent to yourself, as far as it lies in your power, the omnipotence and great splendor of the personal Word of God. He speaks, and His Word immediately becomes manifold and multifarious existences. He says, let there be light, and there is light. He says, let there be a firmament, and He makes a firmament. He says, let the waters under heaven be gathered together into one place. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and so on. And it was so, Genesis 1:3-20, according to His word. Thus the voice of a chief resounding through the air and reaching the soldiers' hearing moves the troops according to the will of the chief, placing them in various positions, making them perform various evolutions, and attaining through them the fulfillment of His various intentions and purposes. Represent to yourself these masses of created matter. Imagine how the enormous mountains rose up from the earth in accordance with the word of God. What the noise of the waters must have been when they gathered together into oceans, seas, rivers, and sources. Imagine how the air was diffused, how the most varied vegetation suddenly appeared at a single word of the all-creating God. Represent to yourself how the planets appeared and shone, and how they began to perform their infinite revolutions. How the fishes, birds, reptiles suddenly appeared, and lastly man. And all these, exception man, were created from one and the same formless matter, or to speak more precisely, from only four soulless, formless, inanimate elements. Oh, does not all this make the mind marvel? O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. Thus even now, the Master creates everything that He pleases from matter. He says, and it is done. He changes the bread and wine into the body and blood of the Eucharist. You are a being endued with speech. Remember that you derive your origin from the word of the Creator of all things, and that in union through faith with the Creator Word, by means of faith, you can yourself be a material and spiritual creator. Believe that by your faith in the Creator Word of the Father, your own word too shall not return to you vain, powerless, when, for instance, you pray to God, the benefactor, in accordance with the Holy Church direction or the Lord's guidance, but it shall bring you the gift necessary for good deeds. Believe that through faith in the Creative Word, you will not be unsuccessful in teaching people either in the temple during divine service or during the celebration of the sacraments in private houses. Neither shall your teaching in schools be unsuccessful, but it shall rouse up in the minds and hearts of those listening to you. Remember that the possibility of the deed is contained in the word itself. It is only necessary to have faith in the power of the word, in its creative faculty. With the Lord, the deed is inseparable from the word. Not a single word addressed to Him shall return void, for with God nothing shall be impossible. It ought to be the same with us. For we are images of the Word, and the Word is most truly united with us through his incarnation, making us godly and partakers of the divine nature. By opening unto others the gates into the kingdom of heaven through baptism, shall we not enter in ourselves? By cleansing others through penitence and absolving them from their sins, shall we not obtain remission of our sins? By uniting others with Christ in the mysteries of the Holy Communion, shall we not ourselves be most truly united with him on the nightless day of Christ's kingdom? By bestowing upon others in the sacrament of Chrism the strengthening and regenerative grace of the Holy Spirit, shall we not obtain strength and power ourselves from the Most Holy Spirit, and shall we not ourselves grow in spiritual gifts? Truly, we firmly hope to receive the promised blessings by the grace, bountifulness, and love to men of God our Savior. God grant that we may all receive them. Only do not let us become slothful, despondent. Do not let us make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, but let us hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let us progress in love for God and our neighbor. When you doubt in the accomplishment or fulfillment of any word or prayer, remember that the nature of the word is accomplishment, realization, and that the Holy Ghost teaching us to pray for anything as we ought is himself called the accomplisher. It is he also who accomplishes our prayer, accomplished by the Spirit. Remember that the word is power. With God, it is said, nothing shall be impossible. The word of the Lord shall not return unto him void, but like rain or snow, it shall water the earth of our hearts, and shall give seed, the fulfillment to the sower, even of men. People say, his word has extraordinary power. You see, therefore, that the word is power, spirit, and life. When you pronounce the powerful, commanding, creative words of the Lord himself, then consider their fulfillment as easy and usual a matter as it is easy and usual for you to breathe or to take, as easy and usual as it is for an infant to be formed in a mother's womb, and even incomparably easier. In order that you should have steadfast assurance during prayer of receiving every spiritual blessing from the Lord, believe that by uniting yourself unto the Lord during your prayer, you become one spirit with him, and that God is most gracious, almighty, and most wise. He is all perfect, perfection, therefore you too, according to your receptivity, according to your faith and love, will become a partaker of his divine perfections. In the union of your soul with God, do not consider anything impossible or difficult or fulfillment, for with God all things are possible, not only the things which you can think of or are thinking of, but also those which you cannot think of, which you think of as impossible. For God is an infinite being, and all his perfections are infinite. If you doubt of obtaining the blessings you ask of God, then remember at least that even you, being evil and avaricious, and not rich, not almighty, give to those in want who ask of you, and sometimes even before they ask of you, when you only know of their need. How much more shall your Father who is in heaven, who is most gracious, most rich, most wise, and almighty, give good things to them that ask of him? The greater the number of persons for whom one asks blessings of the Lord, and the higher are these blessings, the more violently the devil opposes the priest praying in order that God should not grant these blessings at his earnest, fervent prayers. For according to your faith it is said, be it unto you. And all things are possible to him that believeth. However, where the snares of the devil abound, there also the grace of God abounds. He who prays should remember that if God spared not even his own, the only begotten Son for us sinners, but gave him for us all, then how will he not give us anything, everything, even imaginable blessings? For if the infinite greatest blessing has been given to us, then will not lesser blessings be also granted to us? Our Heavenly Father gives us every blessing in Christ. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through knowledge of him. During prayer, when the devil violently tempts you, cast all your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. During prayer, only have faith in the Lord, who is at your right hand, and all things shall be possible unto you. When you sin for the 50th and 100th time in a day and are seized with the most devilish despondency and despair in God's mercy, say from the depth of your soul with metaphrases, I know well, O Lord, that mine iniquities have gone over my head, but I also know that without measure is the multitude of thy bounties, and unspeakable is the mercy of thy great goodness. And no sin is there that can overcome thy loving kindness. Therefore, O most wonderful King, O Lord most good, do thou show thy mercies in me a sinner, manifest in me the power of thy goodness and the might of thy loving kindness, and receive me, and who turn to thee, accept me as thou didst prodigal the thief and the sinful woman, accept me through in though in word and deed, by my evil passions and unreasonable imaginations, I have sinned without measure against thee. But, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy righteous wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for though I am weak, and I am also thy creature, doubt, O Lord, has established thy fear in me, and yet I have done evil in thy sight. O Lord, my God, I have put my trust in thee. If there is any hope of salvation for me, if thy loving mercy can overcome the multitude of my transgressions, be thou my Savior, and according to thy goodness and mercy, loose and remit, and forgive all wherein I have sinned. For my soul is full of trouble, and there is no hope of salvation in me. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Deal not with me according to my sins, but turn, preserve, and deliver my soul from the evils besetting it, and from all its wicked undertakings. Save me for thy mercy's sake, that where sin aboundeth, thy grace may much more abound, and I will glorify thee always, all the days of my life. For thou art the God of the penitent and the Savior of sinners. For prayer before communion, composed by Saint Simeon the Metaphraster. Remember that if you do not speak idly during prayer, but say the words of prayer with feeling, then your words shall not return to you void, without power, like the husk without grain, but shall unfailingly bring you those same fruits which are contained in the word, as the fruit is enclosed in a shell. This is a most natural thing, as natural and common as the fruit and it shall in nature. But if you scatter the words to no purpose, without faith, without feeling their power, like the shell without the kernel, then they will return to you empty in the same way as if you were to scatter the shell. The shell would return to you, but if you scatter seed, the full ears of corn will return to you, and the better, the richer are your seeds, the fuller shall be ears of corn. It is the same with our prayer. The more sincerely, the more heartily each word is pronounced, the greater will be the fruit of the prayer. Each word, like a grain, shall bring forth spiritual fruit like a ripe ear of corn. Which of those who pray has not experienced this? It was not without reason that the Savior compared the seed with the word and the human heart with the ground, St. Matthew. The same applies to the words of the prayer. Also, who does not know that the rain moistens the ground and the plants and waters them? Likewise, the word of God, and even our own words spoken with faith, shall not return to us without watering our own soul or the souls of others who are obedient in believing. This is just as natural as it is natural for rain to water and fructify the ground and plants and to assist their growth. He who becomes irritated against another on account of something material places a material object above his brother. But what can be higher than man? Nothing on earth is higher. When you pray, endeavor to pray more for others than for yourself alone, and during prayer represent to yourself vividly all men as forming one body with yourself, and each separately as a member of the body of Christ and your own member, for we are members of one another. Pray for all as you would pray for yourself, with the same sincerity and fervor. Look upon their infirmities and sicknesses as your own, their spiritual ignorance, their sins and passions as your own, their temptations, misfortunes, and manifold afflictions as your own. Such prayers will be accepted with great favor by the Heavenly Father, that most gracious common Father of all, with whom there is no respect of persons, no variableness, that boundless love which embraces and preserves all creatures. It is a wonderful thing, our soul, upon coming into contact with one who is unbelieving and cold towards God, feels an aversion to him, and the devil endeavors to turn this just dislike and indignation into a feeling of malice. In order not to cherish malice and not to serve the devil by it, we must say to ourselves, I feel a dislike and coldness towards my brother for his aversion and coldness to God. But I do not feel hatred or malice against him, for I bear with him as my own sick member, and I wish to cure him in meekness, instructing him that opposes himself. If God peradventure will give them him repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, if he turns to God, I should turn to him also with heartfelt love. If he becomes compassionate towards others and does not think of himself alone, of his own advantage and pleasures, then I too shall sympathize with him. Besides this, bear lovingly with everybody and look more upon yourself than you yourself are. What you yourself are, and are you not cold and indifferent to God and your neighbor yourself? If so, then there is no reason for you to cast a stone at your brother, when this stone should be directed against yourself. came upon earth in order to raise us up to heaven, from the Akathist to the sweetest Lord Jesus, it would seem that after this, that even when living upon the earth, we must live as if in the heavenly kingdom, dwelling there in anticipation by hope. But in reality, for the greater part, the contrary is the case. Men cling with their whole being to the earth and everything earthly. Wherefore? Because our common enemy, the devil, endeavors with all his might to oppose the intentions of the God-man Christ. He endeavors to do everything in opposition to what Christ did and does. Christ wishes to raise men up to heaven and has given them all the means to attain this, whilst the devil, who himself, for his pride, was cast down from heaven into the dominions of the air, wishes by every means to attach men to the earthly, sensual, transitory things. And in order to attain this end, he employs the most powerful, most prodigious means. Christ taught us truth, and the devil teaches us falsehood, and strives in every way to contradict every truth, devising various calumnies against it. The devil endeavors by every means to keep men in error, in the enticement of the passions, in darkness of mind and heart, in pride, avarice, covetousness, envy, hatred, wicked impatience and irritation, and evil despondence, in the abominations of fornication, adultery, theft, false witness, blasphemy, negligence, slothfulness, and sluggishness. Bear in your heart continually the words, Christ is love, and endeavor to love all, sacrificing for the sake of love not only your possessions but even yourself. The root of every evil is a self-loving heart, or self-pity, self-sparing. It is from self-love, or from excessive and unlawful love for oneself, that all the passions proceed: coldness, insensibility, hard-heartedness towards God and our neighbor, wicked impatience or irritability, hatred, envy, avarice, despondency, pride, unbelief, incredulity, greediness after food and drink, or gluttony, the love of money, vanity, slothfulness, hypocrisy. Never pity yourself in anything. Crucify yourself, your old man, nestling chiefly in the flesh, and you will strike at the root of all your passions. Bear patiently all that is unpleasant to your flesh. Do not spare it. Go against it, and you will become a true follower of Christ. The whole wisdom of a Christian consists in his wisely going against his flesh in everything during his lifetime. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, says the apostle. The heart of a perfectly healthy man becomes weakened for faith and love to God and his neighbor, and easily gives itself up to carnal desires, to slothfulness, negligence, coldness, gluttony, avarice, fornication, pride. Whilst the heart of a sick man, or a wounded, oppressed, weary heart is strengthened in faith, hope, and love, and is far removed from carnal passions. This is why the Heavenly Father, who cares for our salvation, chastises us by various sicknesses. The oppression and afflictions of sickness make us turn again to God. To love your neighbor as yourself, to sympathize with him in his joy and sorrow, to feed, clothe him if he is in need of food and clothing, to breathe, so to say, the same air with him, look upon all this as the same thing as feeding, and do not count these as virtues or as works of love to your neighbor, lest you grow proud of them, for we are members of one another. I marvel at the omnipotence and wisdom of God, how he has created out of the one same earth and water the many and diverse parts of my body, flesh, blood, skin, bones, hair, lungs, liver, veins, eyes, ears, everything. How he set into motion this matter, inert and motionless in itself, and how the regular movements of the blood, juices and liquids, separation of food, etc., are now uninterruptedly accomplished within me. Wonderful are thy works, O Lord, in wisdom hast thou made them all. You have no words to declare the wisdom, goodness, and omnipotence of God, the Creator and Provider. Ask them of the Word of God, and what a variety there is in the heavenly and earthly creatures, animated, inanimate, created from four elements. Such a knowledge is too wonderful and excellent for me. I cannot attain unto it. I think, but for God to think and create or change is one and the same thing, because he is that which is an incomplex and almighty being. Owing to his very incomplexity, everything is possible to him in a single moment. The Lord has spoken, and this is sufficient for one to believe without any doubt that a certain thing is precisely what he has said. Doubt is impossible. The Godhead would not be Godhead if it were not almighty. As for our God, he is in heaven. He has done whatsoever pleased him. He wishes, and it is. He wished that the water should flow from the rock, and it flowed. He wished that there would be a word out of nothing, and it appeared. A world out of nothing, and it appeared. His works prove that he is almighty. Come and see. Try to turn your whole life into service of God, to God. If you are reading anything at home, begin this work by a short fervent prayer that God may teach you and make you wise in faith and piety and in the careful accomplishment of your duties. Never read idly in order to pass the time. By thus doing, you lower the word, which should serve entirely for our salvation, and not for idle words, nor as a means for pleasure and spending time agreeably. If you talk to your neighbor, speak reasonably, prudently, instructively, edifyingly. Avoid idle speaking as the poison of a serpent, remembering that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. That is, they shall hear the just sentence of the judge. If you are teaching children, your own or those of others, turn this work into God's service, teaching them zealously, considering beforehand the best means of making the instruction clear, comprehensible, complete, as far as possible, and fruitful. Conquered by the name of the Lord and by the sign of the cross, the snares of the enemy, who endeavors to disrupt, disturb, darken, oppress, and weaken you. Even when you eat, drink, or do anything else lawful, do all to the glory of God. In every word is God the Word, an incomplex being. How carefully must we therefore pronounce the words, with what humility, how prudently, in order not to anger God the Word, together with the Father and the Holy Ghost. My Master, Lord Jesus Christ, my swift, most speedily intercessor, who never lettest me be ashamed, I thank thee from my whole heart for having mercifully heard me when I called unto thee in my darkness, straitness, and when I was in the flames of the enemy, for having delivered me most speedily, mightily, and graciously from mine enemies, and for having given unto my heart graciousness, ease, and light. O my Lord, in what distress I was from the snares of the enemy, how opportune hast thou shown me thy help, and how manifestly and almightily hast thou succored me. I glorify thy mercy, Master, speedily to hear us, hope of the despairing. I glorify thee that thou hast not let my face be ashamed, but hast mercifully delivered me from the darkness of ignominy of hell. How after this can I ever at any time despair of thy hearing me and having mercy upon me, a sinner? I shall always, always call upon thy sweetest name, my Savior. Thou, O incalculable bountifulness, save me as thou hast ever done before in thy immeasurable compassion, for thy name is lover of men and Savior. Do not believe your flesh when it grows weak and it refuses to serve you on the pretense of not being sufficiently strengthened by food. This is a delusion. Overcome it, pray fervently, and you will see that the weakness of your body was false, imaginary, not real. You will see a truth that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do not put your trust in bread. It is said, Christ and earth be lifted up. This signifies that he who believes in Christ's coming upon earth in his incarnation and in all his loving care for our salvation does not cling to the earth, but continually raises himself up to heaven in mind and heart. His will continually aspires towards upwards to God, to heavenly blessings, and is not allured by earthly delights, by earthly splendor, riches, and honors. Unfortunately, we have but little faith in Christ, and try to combine our love for the world with a love for Christ, earthly attachments with love for God. These things are incompatible. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Of everything he is passionately attached to in the world, and let him hate his own sin-loving soul. December 24th, 1869. My God, how the love and sincere sympathy of our neighbor towards us rejoices our hearts. Who shall describe this blessedness of the heart, penetrated with the feeling of others' love towards me and my love for others? It is indescribable. If here on earth mutual love so rejoices us, then with what sweetness of love shall we be filled in heaven, when we shall dwell with God, with the Mother of God, with the heavenly powers, with God's saints? Who can imagine and describe such bliss? And what earthly, temporary things could we not sacrifice in order to obtain the unutterable bliss of heavenly love? God, thy name is love. Teach me true love, strong as death. I have most plenteously tasted its sweetness from my communion in the spirit of faith in thee with thy faithful servants, and I have obtained plenteousness of peace and life through it. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast created in me. Oh, had it ever been thus all the days of my life, grant that I may oftener be in the communion of faith and love with thy faithful servants, with thy temples, with thy church, with thy members. My sweetest Savior, having come down from heaven for the service of mankind, Thou didst not only preach the word of heavenly truth in the temple, but thou wentest through the towns and villages. Thou didst not shun anyone. Thou visitest the houses of all, especially of those whose fervent repentance thou didst foresee with thy divine gaze. Thus thou didst not remain sitting at home, but went in loving intercourse with all. Grant to us too to be in such loving intercourse with thy people, so that we pastors should not shun ourselves up in our houses after away from thy sheep, as if in castles or prisons, only coming out of them for services in church or to officiate in the houses of others, only out of duty, only with prayers learned by heart. May our lips be freely open to discourse with our parishioners in a spirit of faith and love. May our Christian love for our spiritual children be opened and strengthened by animated, free, and fatherly conversation with them. Oh, what sweetness, what bliss thou hast conceived, Lord, our boundless love. In the spiritual converse were warned by love in of the spiritual father of his spiritual children, and how it is possible not to strive upon earth with all our might after such bliss. Yet it is only a faint beginning, only a faint likeness of the heavenly bliss of love, especially love, the communion of good works, both material and spiritual, to do good and to communicate, forget not. When the devil disturbs you with unbelief in the holy mystery, saying, "It is impossible that bread and wine should be the body and blood of Christ," say to him, "Yes, it is impossible for you and me. You are right, but not for God. For with God all things are possible. With God the thought itself is deed, said, and it was so. He speaks and it is, short and clear. And all the words stand by the word of God. All the words stand by the word of God, upholding all things by the word of his power. Do not the feet wish to stand above the body, and strange to say, teach the creator of all things? Is it possible to doubt in the existence of that which our own experience in the visible and invisible world assures us? In what does the mystery of the existence of all creatures consist? In the word of the Creator, said, and it was so. Everything proceeded from the word. All the infinite different varieties of creatures from the almighty, most wise, or merciful word of God, not from anything else. Examples are also given to you in the scriptures as to how rapidly everything was created by the sovereign word of God. The waters were turned into blood at the voice of Moses, the dust of the earth into lice, a rod into a serpent. His hand was covered with leprosy and then suddenly cured or restored. Light was turned into darkness that might be felt. Moses only stretched forth his hand, and in the instant the Lord changed the substance of things. The land of Egypt was covered with frogs when Aaron stretched forth his hand over the waters at Moses' bidding. Again, Moses took ashes in his hand and sprinkled it towards heaven, and men and beasts were covered with blades. Moses only stretched forth his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail. Come and see how easy it is for the Lord to create and to change everything. Does not the same Lord act through us priests and with us as well? The Lord himself is here, the Lord who was incarnate for us, and who is the mediator and the accomplisher of all. For thou art he that offereth and art offered, and the receivers and are distributed, from the prayer of priests during the Kerubim hymn. The priest only says the word, stretches forth his hand, and the Lord changes everything. Remember that the intellect is the servant of the heart, which is our life. If it leads the heart to truth, peace, joy, and life, then it fulfills its purpose. It is the truth. But if it leads the heart to doubt, disturbance, torment, despondency, darkness, then it does not fulfill its purpose and is absolutely false, science falsely so-called. If the heart feels peace, joy, ease from faith in everything, this is quite sufficient. It is unnecessary then to require from reason, proofs of truth of such an object. It is undoubtedly true, the heart asserts it by its life for the purpose of all investigations in truth and life. Amen.